Okay, great. Now that we understand the three parts of our being, our conscious mind, our subconscious mind, and our body, let's talk about how paradigms are formed. Because in reality, for the most part, you and I are the products of other people's habitual ways of thinking. The paradigms you hold cause you to think, feel, and act towards yourself and others in a certain way. The problem is that these have been largely unsolicited gifts from your parents, your teachers, your religious sources, your environment, your neighborhoods, or really anyone in authority in your life. As I stated earlier, we form our paradigm, and then our paradigm forms us. When we uncritically accept things and act upon them, these paradigms gain control and can produce very positive results in some cases. However, they can also produce limiting, unwanted, and ineffective harmful results as well, can't they? If you want greater results, you have to begin to rethink your thinking. You must begin to rethink your thinking on a continuous basis. So here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Turn to the page in your workbook that has the following questions and work the exercises. Please do this now. This is important. Answer the questions. Number one. What have been some of the most influential factors in forming your paradigm? Think about people, places, significant events. Now, if you're in your car, turn off the tape and just think about this question now and answer it to yourself. Okay, great. Question number two. How has your paradigm limited you in your level of success? What have you lost as a result? Answer this now. Question number three. Write below all the success, or if you're in your car, just say it out loud. Now, I know this sounds a little funny, but words said out loud impress much greater impact on the subconscious than the things that are not said out loud. What you're bringing into play here is the thought and your words. So say it out loud or write them on the page. All the success you will enjoy by changing your paradigm now. Okay? Do that right now. All right. Good job. Now, you might say to me, okay, James, I've found a paradigm in my life that probably really isn't that empowering. I mean, if you're anything like me, you're constantly finding things that aren't really creating the results you want in your life. Like attracts like, right? So consequently, if you're putting out certain thought energy, you're actually attracting that type of energy into your life. So it becomes vitally important that you and I consciously, that's in our conscious mind, control what we think about on a regular basis. Does that make sense? How do we change these paradigms once we've understood that we need to change some of them? Well, Vincent van Gogh said once, I dream my painting, and then I paint my dream. You see, all things are possible in the mind, aren't they? I mean, you can imagine anything you want right now. You can bring up the image of yourself as a millionaire. How's that one feel? You can bring up the image of yourself in the most incredible home that you ever could imagine. You can imagine yourself driving a Rolls Royce Corniche with the top down. Pretty nice, huh? Whatever you want to do. Having an incredible relationship. You can imagine anything. If you can dream it, you can achieve it. Remember, if you have a desire, the very fact that you have that desire means that you have the ability to create it. Everything. All things are possible in the mind, and your thought causes everything. Understand this. Everything in physical form was first a thought. Think about it. The clothes you're wearing were first a thought. The car you drive, the house you live in, even this tape player were all first an idea, a thought in someone's mind. Thoughts are things. They are powerful creators, so you and I need to guard them carefully. We need to use them wisely. Once you realize this, you will realize that the only limitations in your life, the only limitations you will ever have in your life, are the limitations of your own thinking. So this being true, we must begin to address the cause versus the effect. Why is it that so many people make promises but they don't really change? It's because they have never really addressed the cause. We've already learned that results in your life are the effects of when? Of your past, right? Yeah, your past thinking. So, now imagine for a moment that you rented a video, and you're watching this movie on television, and it's terrible. You wouldn't go up and knock out the TV screen, would you? No, you'd change the videotape. You must go to the cause. And your cause, your success, is rooted in your thought. Now, this is just not the pump-up jargon of the motivational movement. This is a fact. This is a scientific fact. And it's now understood that even in quantum physics, that thoughts create things. Our world's greatest scientists are telling us that thoughts are things and that thoughts create. To improve or change our results, your results, you must take conscious attention off of the physical part of your life. Now, sometimes this is difficult. In other words, whatever you have right now, whatever your bank account is, the balance there, whatever the house is you're living in, whatever job you're in, the state of your relationship, you have to take your attention off of that and leave your attention off of that. You see, we've already discovered that those are the outcomes of when, I've said it before, your past thinking. Doesn't that make sense? Think about that now. We've got to stop looking at the past. Imagine this. Imagine driving down the road in your car, looking in the rearview mirror versus the windshield. You wouldn't get very far, would you? But you know how many people are living their lives that way? They're looking into the past to determine their future. You and I have to start placing our thinking upon the limitless, the non-physical realm. Remember, the physical world is a very small part of who we really are. We are spiritual beings, and spirit has no limits. Bob Proctor once told me this: many people are anxious to improve their results, but they're unwilling to improve themselves, and they therefore remain bound. And this is so true. If we want to change our results, we have to change ourselves, don't we? We have to change the videotape. When you concentrate on how things are in your life presently, you're doomed to create more of the same. So we got to start thinking about what we really want. If you want to change your paradigm, you must begin to think and concentrate on the results you want in your life. Not what you don't want, but what you want. You must not give any energy to temporary circumstances or the effects outside of you. None whatsoever. Now, I'm not going to suggest this isn't tough. Sometimes it is. Being a successful thinker in every area of your life is difficult. I won't tell you it's not. It's probably more difficult than anything in the world to think right thoughts regardless of circumstances, even for those of us who teach it. But you see, with practice and experience, it gets easier. I promise you that. It gets easier, and the payoffs are unbelievable. The true masters in life consistently do this. They control their thinking time and time again. Remember, your thought energy transmits and transmutates and creates. It is law. You must continuously stop thinking about the outcomes of yesterday and begin to think about what you want. Preserve the new cause and create and nourish the new cause within your glorious subconscious mind. Think about it. Consciously choose what you want as if it were here right now. Continually impress that upon your subconscious mind, and by law, it must move into form. Isn't that exciting? Remember the law, the perpetual transmutation of energy. Big words, but what it means is energy is always moving into and out of form. Thoughts are energy, some of the most potent energy. The law of attraction and vibration says that like attracts like. As we continually impress our thoughts out into the universe, they attract like thoughts, and they attract like energies, and they create like results. Doesn't that make sense? It should, because it's absolutely a law. Your future has nothing to do with your present circumstances. So here's what you have the opportunity to do. You're going to create a new paradigm. This is going to be something big. It's bigger than big. You have to write a description of the exact life that you desire, and you have to write it in the present tense, just as if it were here right now. This is vital to understand, because many times I see people writing their paradigm in the someday tense. You know what I mean? They use words like, I will be. Well, think about it now. Based on everything we've learned, when you write down, I will be, what does that tell your subconscious mind? That you're not. I once read an organizational mission statement that said, quote, striving to become number one, unquote. And with this as a mission statement, guess what they're always going to be doing? Striving. But they're never going to be number one. The subconscious mind, remember, accepts everything that it is given without judgment, just as you give it. And so what we must do is write it as if. For instance, I am a billionaire. Well, you say, well, James, that's just telling a lie. It's not telling a lie. Remember now, nothing is ever created or destroyed. Everything that ever was already is. It's just a matter of understanding. The billions that you want already exist. You don't have to create them. You just have to attract them. Those billions are energy, just like your thoughts. The relationships you want in your life are already there. You don't have to create it. You just have to attract it. You've got to set your magnet. You've got to plant the proper seed. Use the power of your magnificent mind properly. Now, you have to write this paradigm in the present tense, and it has to include emotional words. You have to get emotionally involved. Remember, emotion creates motion. It creates motivation. Emotion is the gateway to your subconscious mind. It's your higher self, waiting manifestation. Emotion is your lifeblood. You've got to get passionate. Unless you get passionate with your new paradigm and fall in love with it, it will never come into form. So with all these things in mind, this is exciting. Get ready to do this. Turn to the page on creating a new paradigm and write, I am so happy, excited, and fulfilled now that I am, finish it out. You're going to describe your life exactly as you want it. Describe your new self exactly as you see yourself. Are you ready? Okay, go. Okay, good job. You should be excited by now because I am. You should have a paradigm written, a new picture of yourself, your new identity of who you are, and it should just turn you on. If you don't have something like that, then you need to go back and rework it a little bit. So you might say to me, James, okay, I've written this down. Now, how do I begin to create it in my life? Well, here's how you begin. You begin through the law of attraction. You begin by living your new paradigm, as if it were here right now. It's widely known, as we said earlier, that the subconscious mind really can't tell the difference between something that is real, quote-unquote, in material form, and something that is vividly imagined. Vividly imagined. Because your mind thinks in pictures, as we discussed earlier, you must create a picture of yourself in possession of your new paradigm. So in other words, read your paradigm and what comes up in your mind. What picture comes up? Where are you? How do you feel right now? What are you seeing around you? Look around. What people are there? Maybe you're sitting by the ocean, on the Riviera. Who knows? What picture comes up for you? What's it like in the home of your dreams? Are you sleeping in late? Being served breakfast in bed? Maybe you're driving a certain car that you've always wanted, pulling it into the driveway of the home of your dreams. How does that look now? How does that leather feel? Whatever picture comes up for you, you must create a picture of yourself in possession of your new paradigm. And you've got to be in it. You see, 9 times out of 10, when I talk to people about creating a picture, they create a picture, but they are looking at themselves in the picture. You follow me? That won't work. You've got to be in the picture. When you're looking at yourself in the picture, you're telling your subconscious that it's really not you. You're not really there yet. When you're in the picture, looking through your own eyes, you have it. See the difference? You've got to look through your own eyes and see what you would see in the picture versus looking at yourself there. This is a critical way that the subconscious mind operates. And I hope you're following me on this because it's really important. If your paradigm contains a home, you must be sitting or walking in that home, seeing it through your own eyes. If your paradigm contains a certain car, you have to be looking out over the dash. In other words, sitting behind the steering wheel, seeing the top of the steering wheel and out through the windshield. Now, when this picture is planted in the subconscious mind, the image will automatically begin to be expressed through your body in actions. Remember, action follows thought. Not only will your body be in a different vibration, but you will begin to attract everything in your life that is in harmony with that new thought. Thoughts are creative impulses of energy, and the law of attraction states that like attracts like. So when you start, when you see yourself as totally successful already, and when you picture yourself as living the life of your dreams, will you make different decisions, yes or no? Absolutely you will. Will you begin to hang around with different kinds of people? Yes or no? Sure you will. You most certainly will. And will you begin to attract different kinds of people into your life and attract different circumstances there as well? You will, by law. You absolutely cannot think an old limiting paradigm and attract success. If you're planting rocks, you will never grow diamonds. Likewise, you cannot continue to think upon your new, unlimited paradigm and not attract abundance. It is a law. Your firmly planted new paradigm will set in motion a magnetic force to attract into your life everything that's in harmony with it, everything which harmonizes with that thought. The more frequently you bring up your picture, the more frequently and the more vividly you imagine your new paradigm, the more rapidly it must manifest. The better you make it, the more rapidly it will come into physical form. Now, here's the deal. You got to believe your new paradigm no matter what. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what current circumstances say. No matter what your current results are. Because you see, what happens with many people is they begin to view themselves in their new paradigm, but then they look at their current results and they say, this isn't going to happen. Guess what? The subconscious mind says, your wish is my command, and begins to create what you think about. When you worry, you create what you worry about. When you think it's not going to happen, you create it not happening. Thoughts are powerful, and your subconscious mind is an obedient servant. It's kind of like a genie. Think about the genie in Aladdin's lamp, right? It pops out and it says to Aladdin, okay, you have 3 wishes. Well, the truth is that this story is years and years old. It's a parable that's been told throughout time. And you know, I found out just recently that originally there were no limit on the wishes. And that is so true. Your subconscious mind is just like your genie. What you ask for, it says, your wish is my command. And it begins to manifest that wish for you. If you ask it for success, your wish is my command. If you ask for a great relationship, guess what? Your wish is my command. You see, the problem is that many people ask for success, and then they worry and say, it's not going to happen. And then they say, this doesn't work. And then they think, well, maybe it will work. And the genie is constantly confused. The genie is bringing what you ask for into form, and then not bringing it into form. And then wondering if to bring it into form. You have got to, with the power of your will, which we talked about earlier, you have got to concentrate on one idea, your new paradigm, regardless of the circumstances. You've got to do it with laser intensity. The more frequently you think about that, the more frequently you bring up that new picture, the more rapidly it will begin to manifest into form. So at a minimum, once per day, minimum. Now, this is a discipline. At least once per day, you must find a quiet time to do the exercise I'm going to describe to you. Your subconscious mind never sleeps. When you go to sleep at night, your subconscious mind beats your heart, it digests food, it runs your respiratory system, it continues to work all night long. Consequently, the last thought that you give to your subconscious mind at night before drifting off to sleep is what you provide it to work with all night long. Therefore, one of the best times to visualize your new paradigm is every night as you go to sleep. So do this. Every night as you go to sleep, and I've done this for years, as you lay your head on the pillow, just get a picture of your new paradigm and hold it in your mind as you drift off to sleep. Make it fun. Your subconscious mind will take that and begin to work with it all night long. The vibration will be sent out, and the law of attraction will begin to bring those results and those things into your life. Now, in addition to the time before you go to sleep, at least one time a day, stop, just for a few minutes, and let yourself relax. Begin to see, hear, and feel yourself in possession of your new paradigm. Now, the critical understanding here is that you have to be in the picture. You say, James, you've already told us that. Well, it's so important, I want to make sure you understand it. Not seeing yourself in the picture, but you have to be physically in it. You understand? You've got to see it, hear it, and feel it. Act as if you were there right now. You want to see yourself talking, walking, feeling, acting as if you were already there in your new paradigm, in your new life, in its physical form, right now. That's what you've got to do. Let yourself relax, bring up the picture, and run it through. Make it better. Make it bigger, brighter. Make it more fun. Make it like a moving picture. Hear sounds. Feel feelings. Make them more intense. The more vividly you imagine it, and the more frequently you imagine it, the more rapidly it will come into your life. This works. For the most rapid results, practice this visualization at the following times. When you first wake up in the morning, at midday, and right before you go to sleep at night. But at minimum, absolute minimum, do it before you go to bed. This is the key. This will start to bring the things you want into your life so quickly it'll make your head spin. And this is a scientific approach. It's been used by all winners in their life throughout time. Jack Nicklaus is well known for visualizing his stroke, feeling the swing, seeing the ball fly exactly where he wants it to go before every single shot. Michael Jordan always runs through the entire game in his mind before ever leaving the locker room. Every shot, every move, every pass. Great gymnasts are instructed, even when they're injured, to lay on the mat and visualize their performance, run through their entire routine. This has been studied and documented. It's not my idea. I've utilized it all my life, and you know what? I utilized it even before I knew what I was doing. But now that you and I know how it works, we can begin to create whatever we want. Joel Barker, the author of the book Paradigm, says this: "To ignore the power of paradigms to influence your judgment is to put yourself at risk when exploring the future." To be able to shape your future, you have to be ready and able to change your paradigm. You now have the ability. You have written down your new paradigm. Are you ready? You're certainly able. Make the commitment starting right now. Okay, now that you have your new paradigm, let's talk about the power of vision, the third principle that we're going to explore in the Science of Success. The ancient text says this: "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now that you know how your marvelous mind works, you must begin to program it properly. Now that you have a new paradigm about yourself, you must begin to program your mind with the vision that the new person you are will create on a continual basis. As we learned previously, there is one great law. Energy is. Therefore, your thoughts, like everything else, are impulses of energy. It stands to reason that if everything is energy, your thoughts are energy as well, doesn't it? And each of these thoughts is literally vibrating at a specific cycle per second, according to the law of vibration. A subset of this law, the law of vibration, is called the law of attraction. This law states that similar vibrations will attract each other, and dissimilar vibrations will repel. By law, you must put your thoughts and yourself in a vibration with the good that you desire, or you will never, ever receive it. In other words, you have to be in harmony or in resonance with what you want. This involves aligning your body, your mind, and your spirit with your desires. The first step to making this happen and creating what you want is to really, truly define what you want with absolute clarity. As I said earlier, many people don't get what they want in life because they don't know what they want. You've got to know what you want very clearly. Left to chance, you'll be a product of your conditioning, and you'll produce results accordingly. Now, this explains why welfare recipients are frequently second or third generation welfare recipients. Now, they are not better or worse people than you or I. They've just forgotten who they truly are. Conversely, if you look at a family like the Kennedys, for instance, they are high performers and achievers generation after generation. Again, no better or worse people. They just have different conditioning, different thoughts, which drive different actions. Your conditioning is a multitude of ideas, beliefs, and thought processes that have been fixed in your subconscious mind, and these are commonly referred to as habits. If you bunch all your habits together, you have your old paradigm. Remember, we stated earlier that you form your habits, or you form your paradigm, and then at some point, your habits and your paradigm form you. So we've chosen or accepted them somewhere along the way, but then we forget. And at that point, they sink deep into our subconscious mind, and they begin to make us. You have a host of habits that are fixed in your subconscious mind which are not to your benefit, and they must be replaced. They come from all areas that we've previously discussed, Our habits and our paradigm are sent out into the universe, and we should know this by now, they begin to attract results with which they are in resonance or harmony. Therefore, even though you're most often unaware of their existence, these destructive concepts that are fixed in your subconscious mind begin to attract the things that you do not want into your life, and therefore they hold you back. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to be a victim of your past paradigm. You can escape the outcome of your past conditioning and your habits and begin to create the life of your dreams. To begin to make this happen, you must first recognize that you are a perfect expression of unlimited possibilities. All things, absolutely anything, is possible. Think of your mind as a wonderful garden that needs to have constant tending. Your old habits are like weeds that grow up in the garden, and they grow on their own, don't they? I mean, you don't have to fertilize weeds in your garden, do you? No way. You don't even have to work to grow weeds. They grow on their own. In fact, you can even cover them up with cement and they'll grow right up through the cracks. But you see, beautiful flowers need love and care. They need to be fed, watered, handled, babied, pampered, protected from the weeds. Well, the marvelous garden of your mind must be nurtured and protected from the weeds of life. Weeds grow on their own. You must constantly de-weed the garden of your mind and plant the seeds of your desire. You must use your conscious gardener carefully and continuously. Now, here's another thing. Nature abhors a vacuum. If something is removed, it must be replaced. And nature will fill it as quickly as possible. I mean, just try keeping your desk clean at work. Empty space cries out to be filled, doesn't it? Try digging a hole somewhere and see how long it takes to start filling in. Not long at all. Therefore, it's not just sufficient to pull out the weeds. Why? They'll grow right back, won't they? To control what flourishes and grows, you must constantly replace them, the old habits and paradigm, with new truths. Does that make sense? You will do this successfully when you have a compelling and a passionate reason, and this reason is your vision. Now, to do this, we've got to start thinking differently. Albert Einstein said once, "The thinking that has brought me this far has created some problems that this thinking cannot solve." You probably have experienced this same feeling in your life. Have you ever had a goal to, let's say, be the president of your favorite club or organization? Okay, so you focus on this. You have a passion to accomplish this. The laws come into play. Your vision is attracted to you. Great. You are now the president, and there you find a whole new set of circumstances you never imagined. You quickly understand that you need to think in new ways, and you don't even know how. This is the kind of situation that at first may seem to be potential disaster, but it can be the seeds of success if it motivates you to think differently. Well, we've got to start thinking differently. We've got to create a new way of thought and continuously practice and exercise that thought. Here's the truth. A vision and a purpose are always more compelling than a goal. Now, you may say, "James, you've alluded to goals before. Does that mean you don't think goals are important?" No, I believe goals are absolutely important. They're an important part of life, and they're a necessity to move you forward. However, a goal will never qualify as your vision. Understand this. Goals are a part of a vision, but your vision needs to be more than just a goal. And remember, only you can decide what your vision is. Although another person in your life, your spouse, your parent, your brother, sister, your employee, one of your associates, may offer you some suggestions, you must ultimately make the final decision. No one else in the world is capable of creating your vision. A vision, your vision, will continue to compel you and pull you and attract you long after a goal is accomplished. So, okay, we're ready to do this. How do we make it happen? Well, there are three levels of vision. And the next step in the Science of Success system is to create absolute clarity about what your vision is. Clarity is power. So let's be laser beams. Many people wish for a better life or for greater success, but they never clearly define what better means. If you want to achieve the highest levels of success in your life, you must know in no uncertain terms what your highest vision is. And there are three levels to that vision. There are three types of desires: who you want to be, what you want to do, and what you want to have. Now, while the doing and the having are great, and they're an important part of life, by the way, the being is changeless. Remember, you are only utilizing things for the time you're here. You don't ever own anything. Think about it. I mean, when you and I die, they're going to go to someone else, aren't they? However, who you become and who you are is yours forever. Remember, it's not about what you have in life. It's about who you become. That's important. It's not about what you have in life. It's about who you become. Because who you become determines what you do and what you have. All lasting growth and change must happen from the inside out, starting with who you become. So to form your vision, you must look at all three levels, starting with the being, or who you become, and then moving out to what you want to do, and finally, what do you want to have? So the question is, who do you want to become? Let's think about that for a moment. To do this successfully, you must take all limitations off your marvelous mind. You just allow yourself to dream. Remember, you are totally unlimited. There is no reason why you cannot be anything and everything you desire. You are God's highest creation, and because of this, all things are possible. Now, as you think about what you really want to become, remember, emotion is the fuel of motivation. I've talked about this before, but I can't emphasize enough the importance of making your vision compelling. The only way you will ever succeed in life is to craft a vision that instills passion. You must fall in love with your vision. Emotion is the reason that you take all the action that you take. Now, you know, a lot of people want to argue with me about this one. And particularly if I'm talking to a group who typically pride themselves on being very logical. They say, "Now, wait a minute, James. I'm a reasonable, rational, logical human being. I don't make decisions based upon emotion." Well, this is just not true. Even if you're reasonable and rational, you make decisions based upon how strongly you feel something is reasonable and rational. Isn't that right? I mean, let me give you an example. If you don't believe this, look at the watch on your wrist. Look at it right now. Come on. Now, if you paid more than $40 for that watch, you made an emotional choice. Why? Well, a $40 watch will tell time every bit as well as a $4,000 watch, won't it? So if you paid more than $40, you paid that because of how the watch would make you feel. Emotion is our greatest motivator. Emotion is our higher self wanting to come forward. Isn't that neat? So as we create our vision, remember that nothing is off limits. Nothing. Make your vision comprehensive. All things are possible. Include your personal and your professional life. You see, life is meant to be fulfilling and complete in all areas. Make your vision something you can get passionate about, something you can fall in love with. Think how you want to be remembered, how people will talk about you. Think of the good that you will do for the world and the people around you. Now, see yourself being that person. Feel what it feels like to be that person right now. Become that person. Be that person. Place that thought in your mind with the two most powerful words in existence: I am. Think, feel, see, become, and know that you are. The key to true and lasting success in life is balance. And you must define balance for your own life. It's an individual issue. I can't tell you what balance is for you. Nobody can tell you that balance for you is not working 12 hours a day. It's just an individual issue, so no one can do that for you. You can only do it for yourself. But what I would ask you to do is to be completely honest regarding how balance is defined. To do this, you have to look at all areas and take them all into consideration: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. As you begin to dream of what you want to be, do, and have, Address all these areas of your life, okay? That's important. Now, in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to start doing some dreaming. I'm going to ask you to write down all the things that you want, with no limits on your life. What will you put down? If there was absolutely nothing you could not do, right now, it doesn't matter how you're going to accomplish it. The first step is to get it down. You've got to begin to craft a vision and get very clear on what it is you want, specifically, and then you can start attracting that outcome into your life. When you get your intention clear, the method to achieve it will appear. See, many times people I interact with on a daily basis get all caught up in the how-tos, or the method of achieving their vision. And so consequently, oftentimes they never do anything. But the truth is, if you get your intention clear and you get passionately involved, you fall in love with that, the method will follow. The method will come. The how-tos will begin to manifest themselves for you. You will begin to take action a day at a time. So preparing to create your vision, there are four rules. There's four rules we need to know. We've got to agree on these right now. Rule number one, your vision must address all three levels. You remember those? Who you want to be, what you want to do, and what you want to have. And within those levels, you must look at the mental, the physical, and the spiritual goals in each of these areas. That's the balance issue. Rule number two, release all limitations. All things are possible. Rule number three, your vision must state what you want versus what you don't want. You know, I was working with a client recently, and I told her to write down what she really wanted. As I looked at her list, I noticed that the third item was to be debt-free. I looked at her and I said, really? You know, there's a couple of guys who live on the beach by my house and they're debt-free. Is that what you really want? And she said, well, no. I mean, they also have no house, no car. Sometimes they have no food. Just go out and sell your house, sell your car, everything you own, and you've got your goal. Now, what do you really want? She paused for a moment and said, financial freedom? Now we're getting somewhere. As you craft your vision, you cannot have, I want to be debt-free. With this as a part of your vision, you have to think about debt when you read your vision. You might want to be financially independent. But you see, there's a big difference between being debt-free and being financially independent, isn't there? You see, here's the thing. The mind cannot process a negative. If I tell you, don't think about an ice cream cone, what do you have to think of? Well, you have to think about what not to think about before you know what not to think about. Now, think about that for a minute. If you tell your child, don't spill the milk, what do they have to think of? That's right, spilling the milk. You get the idea? Your vision must not have, I don't want to have a sick day. That's what you don't want. Your vision may have, though, I want to be continuously healthy. See the difference? So you must make sure that you're really careful. And this is a fine distinction. You must make sure that you write down what you want versus what you don't want. Remember, we are programming the subconscious mind. Whatever we give to it, it will take without question. So write what you want versus what you don't want. And rule number four, you must write your vision in the present tense. In other words, we've talked some about this. You must be able to see yourself already in the possession of the good you desire. So in other words, you will say, I am, those powerful words, I am a millionaire versus I will be a millionaire. You will say, I am enjoying and I am excited about my incredible relationship. Realize that this may not be exactly where you are yet, but this is what you're programming into your subconscious mind. If you tell your subconscious mind, I will become happy in my relationships, that's what it will create for you. Will become, not being. Do you see the difference? If you say, I wish for a new car, that's what your subconscious mind will create for you. The wish, not the new car. Instead, you should write, I'm happy and excited driving my new BMW 740i, or whatever you want to fill in the blank with. Write it in the present tense. The more you can put in emotional and colorful words, the more you'll be able to vividly imagine. Remember, Your subconscious mind does not know the difference between something that actually happens and something that is vividly imagined. So the more exciting words, colorful words you can put in there, the more vividly you'll be able to imagine it. So now you have the rules. You've been thinking about your vision. I know you have. You should be getting excited. What I'm going to ask you to do is to turn off this tape, and for 5 minutes, you're going to sit down and turn to section 3 in your manual. You're going to write down all the things that you want to be. Remember, physical, mental, and spiritual. Physically, mentally, and spiritually, all the things that you want to be. And here are the rules to this exercise. 5 minutes, and your pen has to keep moving. It cannot stop. Everything is possible. Your pen must keep moving during those 5 minutes, right? Everything you can write down, everything you can put down, keep your pen moving, everything you want to be, and after you've done that, we'll go on to the next step. If you don't get it down, you can't have it. Are you ready? Okay, go. Now, if you didn't do this exercise, I'm talking to you right now. Okay, you have got to turn off this tape right now and go back and complete the exercise. Remember, we talked about the difference between dreamers and achievers in life is one thing, action. You have got to commit to doing these exercises, not for me or anyone else, but for you. If you can tell me what you want, I can tell you how to get it. But you've got to write it down. You have to do the work. You might say, well, James, I don't feel like doing the exercises now. It's going to be really hard to convince me that these exercises are too hard or too difficult. All you got to do is dream. Write down the things you want. Yet too many people will tell you every reason why they couldn't do something as simple as this. This is what I'm talking about when I say that you need to take some action. So take some action. Write it down. 5 minutes. Keep your pen moving. Do it now. Great. Congratulations. Okay, now, you should have some exciting things on your page. Now, here's the next step, and follow me closely. Take the number of items you have on your What I Want to Be page and just count them. Just count how many you have. Once you have counted them, I want you to divide them into thirds. So, for instance, if you have 15 items on your page, 15 desires, you'll have 5, 5, and 5 divided into thirds. If you have 12, you'll have 4, 4, and 4. You get the idea? Okay. Now, once you know what the number is, go back and put each of these components of your vision as an A, B, or C desire. A is the most important. Your A desires will be the most important things to you in your groupings. So, for instance, if you have 15, you can have 5 A's, 5 B's, and 5 C's. So make sure you divide them into thirds and then put them as A, B, or C. All right? Ready? Go. Okay, great job. Now, here's the next step. Go through all of your A desires and put them in sequential order. 1 through 5, 1 through 10, however many you have. 1 is the very most important, okay? Put all of your A goals in sequential numerical order, 1 through whatever. 1 is your most important. Ask yourself, if I could only have 1 of my A desires, what would it be? Now, I know you're probably going to say to me that you want them all. And that's okay, but if you could only have 1, what would it be? Get your first one. When you've got that, then ask yourself, having that one already, if I could only have 1 more, what would it be? Remember, we're just looking at our A desires. Put them all in numerical order, 1 through 5 or whatever you have. Okay? Ready? Go. Okay, great job. We're ready for phase 2. We're going to turn the page. We'll come back to those in just a moment. But turn the page in your workbook and find the What I Want to Do page. Okay? What are the things you want to do? Remember, physical, mental, and spiritual arenas of your life. All right? Same rules. You have 5 minutes. Turn off the tape. Keep your pen moving. Your pen may not stop. There are no limitations. Get ready to dream. All the things that you want to do in your physical, mental, and spiritual arenas of your life. Ready? Get ready to write. Go. Nice job. Welcome back. Now, once again, take all of your desires and count them. Take all of your what you want to do desires, divide them into thirds, and put them in categories A, B, or C, just like last time. A is the most important, and remember now, you can only have a third of your desires as A's, okay? Go. Great job. Hang with this. This is going to change your life. This is going to guarantee that you get what you want in your life. Are you ready? Okay. Same thing. Take all of your A's and put them in numerical order. A1 will be your very most important. Ask yourself, if I can only have one of these, which one would it be? And so on. 1 through 5, 1 through 10, whatever they are, put your A desires down in numerical order. Ready? Go. You're doing great. Now, do this. Put your pen down and shake your hand out. Shake it out, shake it out, shake it out, shake it out. Okay, we've got one more round to go in fulfilling your dreams and getting absolute clarity on them and on your life. Your life will never be the same. Go to the next page. Turn the page to the page that says, what do I want to have? What are the things you want to have in your life? What do you really want? Do you want a Mercedes Benz? Do you want a Harley Davidson? A home in Tahiti? Do you want to have a home on the ocean? Whatever it is, in the physical, mental, and spiritual area of your life, what do you want to have? You have 5 minutes. Your pen cannot stop. There are no limitations. Get excited. Write them down. Get them all down. If you can get them down, you can have them. Ready? Go. Nice work. Once you have them divided in thirds, put them into A, B, or C categories. You should be getting good at this by now. A being most important, just like before. This is the final step. Take all of your A desires and put them in numerical order. You should be good at it. 1 through whatever, A1 being the most important. If you could only have one, what would it be? Okay? Go. Good job. You've done some work here. You should be excited. You should have some really neat things written down. I bet you do. And you should also have 3 A1 goals. 1 in the what you want to be category, 1 in the what you want to do category, and 1 in what you want to have. You have 3 A1s. Now here's what I want you to do. Write down on the next page something you will do within the next 24 hours to take a step towards your vision. These are the 3 most important things in your life. What will you commit to doing within the next 24 hours to put them into play, to bring them towards you? If you want to be financially independent, you can go to the bank and open a new independence account with $5. It doesn't have to be a big thing. If you want to be a great parent, you can schedule a day with your son or daughter. If you want to go on a trip, a cruise around the world, for instance, you can call the travel agent and get a brochure. If your vision contains a new car, you can go down in the next 24 hours to a showroom and sit in it. So it doesn't have to be a big thing, but this is something you will absolutely commit to doing within the next 24 hours. You've done a lot of work. You've captured the things that are important to you. So you must never leave the sight of setting a goal of any kind without putting some kind of action into play. What is your action item? Write those items down on the next page, the 3 action items you will do within the next 24 hours. This is vital. You must do this. Write them down and commit to doing them right now. Turn off the tape, write down your actions, and answer the 2 questions provided. Ready, go. Congratulations. Now let's talk again about the law of attraction, the power of faith, and the power of belief. You've completed this critical step to guarantee the achievement of your vision and your goals. It's absolutely scientific that you must have something mentally before you will ever have it physically. Remember, everything in the physical world first started out where? As a thought, an idea, a vision. Napoleon Hill once said, "There is a difference between wishing for a thing and being prepared to receive it." So you've got to believe that you will receive this. Our history is full of great achievers who have accomplished what many believe to be impossible through the process of visualization. Now, there are also a lot of individuals who go through this exercise and never achieve anything. What makes a difference? How does this occur? Why is it that some are absolute giants in their lives and others continue to struggle and never succeed? You know, if we wanted to, we could actually assume that there was some higher power playing favoritism, reaching down and touching a select few. But I can assure you that this is not the case. Everyone has been blessed, you included. But you must understand how the world works. You must understand the way things work. You've got to build an unbending belief and a faith that is unshakable in the achievement of your vision, regardless of current circumstances. Remember, current results and circumstances are the direct outcomes of the past. You are creating your future. The ancient text tells us, according to your beliefs, it is done unto you. You have to build and strengthen your beliefs. All great achievers in life have possessed an unshakable belief that their vision would come to pass. In fact, they didn't believe it. They knew it. And in many cases, they weren't even consciously aware of the law. But you know what? The law is the law. Now, you and I are unique. Because you're becoming consciously aware of how the universe works, you can make it work for you every single time. But what you have to do is believe it without question. You must know it. Remember, every thought you continually hold, that you get emotionally involved with, plants a seed in your subconscious mind. This seed immediately begins to attract that which is necessary for its growth. Thoughts are impulses of energy. Like attracts like. But understand, a seed will only grow to the degree that it is nourished through repetition and belief. If you are planting seeds of faith and belief one moment, and seeds of doubt and fear the next, what you're putting out and attracting is confusion and anxiety in your life. Confusion and anxiety will never bring you what you want. You must plant and grow your vision, and only your vision. This is once again where the power of the will comes into play. You must have the willpower to focus only on your vision, regardless of what's happening around you, regardless of outside circumstances or current results. Believe and know it's only a matter of time before your vision begins to manifest itself in physical form. This is law. Remember, a baby takes 9 months. We know that, and we continue to believe it's coming. We would never go to an expectant mother in the third month and begin to question her pregnancy. Your vision will appear in physical form when the necessary gestation period has elapsed, which is governed by the law of gender. Now, you'll see in your workbook that we have a picture of stick person once again. Take a look at it. This is a critical illustration. At the intellectual level, your vision must be here now in the present tense. You must visualize yourself in the picture, create a picture, and be in the picture, looking through your own eyes. You should be getting good at this by now. Remember, not seeing yourself in it, but you must be in it here and now. At the subconscious level, your vision must be here and now. Now, you may ask, how do I do that, James? Well, you get emotionally involved. Your subconscious or spiritual level is where your emotions lie. You have to get emotionally involved with your vision. You have to get passionate about it. You must fall in love with it. You must want it more than anything. And at the physical level, the vision has no choice but what? To begin manifesting according to the law of gender. Abraham Lincoln said once, "To believe in the things you can see and can touch is no belief at all, but to believe in the unseen is both a triumph and a blessing." So believe. Create the picture. You know the process. It's exactly the same as it was with your paradigm. Take your A1 visions, your A1 desires, and create a picture around them. Write them down, and every single night you must visualize that picture. Now, you maybe want to incorporate them into your paradigm. That's up to you. Maybe you want to build one big picture of your paradigm and your vision that is all-inclusive. Visualize it. Let yourself relax. Bring it up on the screen of your mind. Make it colorful. Be in the picture. Hear what you hear. Feel what you feel. Smell the smells. Get excited. You must know that it is coming to pass. It will come to pass. Remember, a vision is more powerful than a goal. And we have taken a scientific approach by creating goals that are an outgrowth of your vision. They are perfectly aligned. The power of your vision and the determination of your goal is an unstoppable combination. When you believe in yourself and trust in the laws, your belief sets up a vibration that goes to work bringing your vision into your life. It's a law and it's guaranteed. Please listen to this over and over again There is so much power when you connect your mind to your dream. I'll talk to you in the next tape about the next power principle, principle number 4, the power of partnerships. Welcome back to Power Principle number 4, the power of partnerships. Now, partnerships are absolutely vital to your success and to the science of success. Without partnerships, you will never fully achieve the good you desire. Why? Well, because today, knowledge in our world is doubling every 3 years. This means that many of the things we will use on a daily basis in the years ahead haven't even been thought of, much less invented. Because of the rapid pace of technology, we are all expected to do more with less. I sure am. Consequently, the only way that you and I can be successful is to leverage ourselves. Anyone who tells you that they succeeded by themselves today is just not being honest. I mean, even if you work smart and really hard, I don't know about you, but I know for me, no matter how many books are in my library, there are still stacks of books I haven't read yet. I can read all the magazines in the world and I still feel like I'm behind. You ever feel like that? Even if you work smart and extremely hard, it's difficult to keep up, isn't it? You've created your new personal paradigm and you've clearly defined your vision. The next step is to begin to leverage your time, talents, and actions through powerful partnerships. The power of your vision will bring new rewards and challenges to you. You must be ready to enjoy the rewards of your desires and be able to deal with these new challenges in your new world. Remember, you wouldn't even be able to dream a dream if you couldn't make it come true. So do you think you can do all these things by yourself? No, you can't. Why would you want to? If there was a way to make difficult and challenging situations easier and more rewarding, you'd want to do that, wouldn't you? Well, the key to thriving in your new world is powerful partnerships. Why is it that people don't frequently build these? I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it make sense that if you could build partnerships with some really incredible people, you would leverage yourself and increase your achievement? You would decrease the time to achieve your goals? Absolutely. So why do most people not do it? Well, there might be a lot of things involved here, but one of them, I think, is due to the competitive mindset that is perpetuated in our world. The competitive mindset that we have been conditioned to operate in as we've grown up in our society. See, the first thing you must understand is that the truly successful, the high achievers in life, the real winners, never compete. Now, you may say, wait a minute, James, that just doesn't sound right to me. I mean, how am I going to win in life if I don't compete? Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go along. But for now, suffice it to say that when you compete, you are limiting yourself and your ability to create. Why is this? Well, let's think about our thoughts when we compete. The very nature of competition is that, number one, you are comparing yourself to your quote-unquote adversary. Number two, you're believing that there is a limited supply of goodness and success, right? If you didn't believe there was a limited supply, you wouldn't compete. So what I'm going to suggest to you is that both of these paradigms are in error. The only competition you will ever have in life is the competition between your disciplined and undisciplined mind. In other words, yourself. The only true competition you will ever have is you. Your ability to discipline your thought processes or your inability to do so. First, we have to understand there are no external adversaries. To have an external adversary, your results would have to be created by external events. What other people do or don't do would have to determine your level of success. Now, you and I, we've spent so much time on this, and we know that external events, external circumstances, external individuals do not determine what we achieve or don't achieve. You determine that, and only you. No one can stop you from achieving all that you desire. It is your birthright. If you must create an adversary in life, let your adversary be your own lack of understanding. Let your adversary be your own undisciplined mind. That's the only thing that's going to limit you and hold you back. It's the only thing that will limit your success. Listen to these tapes over and over again until you can hear my voice in your sleep. We've talked about this so many times. Work the exercises again and again until you lock them into your spiritual power center. And nothing and no one will be able to slow the magnetic attraction of everything and anything you want. Okay, secondly, there is no such thing as a limited supply. We've already learned that nothing is ever created or destroyed. All that ever was, is, and shall be is already here. This is law. The marketplace. Think about it now. Your marketplace is full of people and companies in your same business, providing similar service, and many of them are prospering, aren't they? The people you once thought to be your competition can earn millions of dollars in your same field, and there'd still be millions to go around, wouldn't there? Their success has no effect upon yours. Now, you may be saying, well, James, this is radical thinking. And you know what? Compared to our current collective thinking, it is. But collective thinking is inaccurate. Oftentimes, you need to see which way the masses are heading and the way the masses are thinking, and you need to go in the opposite direction. The highly successful people in life do not compete. They create. There's a big difference between competition and creation. Think about it. The mere nature of competition means that you must compare yourself to others. Now, what you have learned is that your consistent thoughts do what? They attract and manifest in your physical world, don't they? So, what does this mean? What this means, if you're constantly measuring and comparing yourself to your quote-unquote competition, you're doomed to create nothing more than their best effort. Not a very wise way to create your future, is it? Resolve right now, once and for all, to concentrate only on what you are creating and the abundance of possibility that's available to you. Your concentration will reward you with what you want and what you desire. Okay, once you understand the fundamental truth of creation, you'll open yourself up to a whole new world of possibilities. Now that you realize there's no true competition in life but yourself, no longer must you concern yourself with petty unwillingness to help your teammates, petty arguments, and competition with others. You'll be free to become the very best and create all that you are, all that your unlimited potential allows. Once this paradigm shift occurs, you'll begin to automatically assist others in achieving their goals. Now, what does this do? Well, by law, your actions will begin to attract like energies into your life. What you sow, you will reap. This makes sense, doesn't it? So, now that you're helping people, now that you're building partnerships, how do you choose the right partnerships? You must begin, as you put yourself in the proper vibration for your vision, you must begin to choose and associate with individuals and build friendships with people who are in resonance or harmony with who you are becoming. These have to be people who believe in you and who will support the reality of what you're creating and nothing else. You know, about 6 years ago, I made a commitment to myself that I would never build intimate relationships with people I did not want to be. And this has massively changed my life. Now, I had to get rid of some friends. I had to change some of the places that I frequented. But I'll tell you what, it made a major difference. You must commit to only build intimate relationships. It doesn't mean that you won't have friendships or you won't have acquaintances, but intimate relationships will only be with those people you admire and people that you want to become. Unless you are highly unusual, there are people in your life right now who limit you. Be prepared right now. The majority of the people in your life will not understand what you're doing. Disempowering relationships have limited many a would-be high achiever. Even those who love you with the best intention, with good intention, will tell you to slow down, take your time, or be realistic. Even though they have your best interests at heart and they really love you, they will hold you back. Other people will tell you every reason in the world why you cannot achieve your vision and your dream. Even though they may care for you and love you, and you love them, these people are toxic. Stay away from them. Think hard when you're around them. Do not allow those thoughts to come into your mind. You see, The truth is, to many of them, you will represent the courage that they don't have. You will represent the person that they are unwilling to become. You will never see an eagle flying with a flock of pigeons. Now, you may think this is a simple example. However, it's not just a chance occurrence. It is law. The eagle is in a completely different vibration from the pigeon, and therefore they repel each other versus attract each other. Winners always flock with winners. As you begin to notice and study the high achievers, what you'll find is that they attend the same churches, they go to the same functions, they eat at the same restaurants. Winners always flock with winners. Often on the road to success, and you might as well prepare yourself for it right now, you'll have to change your intimate friendships and places that you go on a frequent basis. But the returns are enormous. You'll get new friends. You'll have new places to go. If you hold yourself to the highest, a higher standard than anyone would ever expect of you, you will be rewarded. You will invariably find that high achievers spend quality time with like-minded people. Your relationships, partnerships, and your environment are more important to your success than heredity. We've already talked about this, so you must take it seriously. These things are imperative. Your thoughts are massively influenced by the people and the environments where you spend most of your time. Therefore, you can't afford to be lackadaisical about this issue. You've got to take it seriously. No one can do it by themselves in today's world. You must frequently touch the lives of greatness, those who believe in you, inspire you, and motivate you towards your vision. You must stand on the shoulders of giants, people who are giants in their ethics, their practices, and their support of others. So now, here's what I'm going to give you the opportunity to do. Let's begin by thinking about our partnerships, and this is vitally important. I'm going to ask you to work the exercise on choosing your business partnerships. So, if you turn to the page in your workbook about partnerships, let's complete the questions. If you're in your car, turn off the tape and think about these questions one at a time. Even if this is our second or third time through, it's important to constantly check in and revisit with yourself. This is your chance. Question number one. Make a list of the key business people you currently spend the majority of your time with. Get them all down. Key business people. Question number two. From that list of names, how many of these people are people who you truly aspire to become or to be like? How many of these people are people you respect? And who are they? Turn off the tape and list these names now. If you're in your car, turn off the tape and think about the people you spend your time with and how many of them are people you aspire to become. Question number three. Who are the high performers you would like to cultivate deeper relationships and partnerships with? Now, what I want you to do is to consider individuals that you've already listed as well as people that you've not yet listed. Think of these highly successful people. Turn off the tape and write them below or think about them now. Question number four. How specifically will you commit to make this happen? How specifically will you commit to building relationships and partnerships with these people, the people you admire, and by what date will you do it? It's critical that you get really specific here. I will take them to lunch sometime. Doesn't work. You need a concrete commitment. I will call them tomorrow and invite them to lunch on Friday. That one works. I will socialize with them more. Doesn't work. I will take them to a ball game or have them over for dinner on Saturday night. Works. You get the idea? Okay, be specific. Great. So decide what you will specifically commit to now and put it down. And question number five, what will you do to help them? Again, be very specific. You will give them a specific business idea. You will give them a referral. You need to give this some serious thought. How will you help them? Now, let's move to social partnerships. Your social partnerships and who you interact with socially are every bit as important as who you interact with in a business environment. So let's think about these. Question number one, make a list of the people you currently socialize with. Who do you go to the movies, go to dinner? Who do you socialize with? Once again, turn off the tape and give this some thought. Question number two, from that list of names, how many of these people are people you really admire, people you aspire to become, and who are they? Turn off the tape. Question number 3. Who are the people you would like to cultivate deeper relationships and friendships with? Once again, consider people you've already put on the list, as well as names not listed, and list them here. Here's an important distinction. If all of the people on your list are just like you, consider who of a different race, gender, religion, industry, who from a different neighborhood could bring a wealth of diversity into your life. Question number 4. How specifically will you commit to make this happen? How will you make these partnerships and relationships begin to build, and by what date? Be specific. And question number 5, what will you do to help them? What will you give to them? Okay, you've got some action plans and some names for business partnerships and social partnerships. So now let's talk about the next item. This is a really important one. Mentors. One of the most powerful and impactful contributions to my life is that I have had some incredible mentors. I've had mentors from the time I was very, very young. And my mentors have taught me things. They've shortened my learning curve exponentially. They've cut it in half. One of the greatest things you can do to increase the velocity of your success momentum is to find and work with a great mentor. All highly successful individuals have had great teachers. Mentors are the people who have already achieved a level of success that you aspire to. Your mentor will shorten your learning curve tremendously. These people have been where you're going, have learned what works and what doesn't work, and they can tell you from experience what to do and not do. They've made the mistakes, so you don't have to make them. I'll tell you, you can make it without a mentor, but it will take twice the time. So let's think about this. If you're driving in your car, once again, turn off the tape and think about each question. Otherwise, look in your workbook and write them down there. Brainstorm people. Just write down all the people that you need to meet and to emulate. Who are the people that are experts in your field? Or who has achieved what you want to achieve? List them in your workbook on the mentor page now. Ready, go. Number 2. What has to happen for you to meet these people? Who do you know that knows them? Now, you may say to yourself, I don't know the answer to this question, James, but do you know that it's been speculated that we are, at maximum, only 5 people away from anyone in the world? So, think about it. Who could help you meet this person? Who do you have to call? How will you make it happen? When will you make it happen? Be specific. Question number 3. Think of the person or persons that could become your mentor. Someone you can go to for guidance and for insights. List these people below. And last, what can you do to build a deep relationship and partnership with your future mentor? When will you commit to making this happen? And be specific. Good job. You've got some excellent people on your list for business partnerships, some outstanding people for social partnerships and relationships, and you've got some great ideas for mentors. You've made some commitments to yourself. Now, let's talk about what you need to follow through and how you're going to make this happen. Once you contact these people, you must be able to communicate with them effectively to create what you want. That makes sense, doesn't it? Therefore, you need to become a master communicator. To build relationships and partnerships, you must be able to communicate and do so effectively. The quality in life that makes you more promotable, more retainable, and more desirable, more so than anything else, is the skill of outstanding communication. This is true in every area of your life. There have been studies done regarding what makes marriages work. And above all, the highest leverage item that will guarantee a relationship will work is the ability to communicate. Let's think about a leader. As a leader of an organization or a group, master communication skills are the most highly leveraged things you can develop, aren't they? To build masterful and powerful partnerships as well, you must become a master communicator. Now, what do we know? According to the law of relativity, everything in existence is only real according to what? According to its relationships to other things. So, in other words, everything in life is about relationships. Relationships are life. And relationships are built upon communication, commonality, and connection. Communication is the key to make all three of these happen. These three factors collectively are what we'll call rapport. Rapport is another word for harmony or resonance or for being in the same vibration. When we are in rapport, we communicate on three levels with other individuals: the physical, the intellectual, and the spiritual. And when you're in rapport, you can feel it, can't you? I mean, think about your dearest friend and the feelings you have when you're around them. This is directly due to the similar vibration that you are in, or your level of rapport. The intellectual or conscious mind is communicated with by four things: words, tonality, gestures, and writing. To the degree that you establish commonality in these areas, you will begin to establish rapport. In other words, the individual will begin to think, hey, this person is like me. And this will open the door to deeper levels. Let's talk briefly about how we do this. Think for a moment about when you are with your best friend, your family members, and business associates. Let me ask you, are there certain words that you and these people choose on a regular basis? Is there a certain way you say them, maybe in a certain tone? Are there certain gestures that you use, and you both know what they mean? I mean, how many times have you noticed yourself talking just like someone after you've been around them for a while? I mean, the people you hang around with the most, you probably have little code names and little jokes and little things that no one else understands, don't you? Or how many times have you caught yourself picking up on one of their slang words, even if you don't like it? You see, this is what happens when we're in rapport at the conscious level. Next time you're in a restaurant, do this. This is fun. Notice how people at the tables around you are conversing. The people who are obviously connected with each other, the ones in deep rapport, they'll be sitting in a similar fashion, making similar gestures, and talking at the same volume and speed. Now, knowing that we all do this, you can accelerate your rapport building and communication effectiveness by mirroring or matching key words, tonality of the words, and the gestures used with these people you're interacting with. For instance, if someone you're interacting with speaks really slow and soft, you would not create quick rapport with them by talking really fast and loud, would you? If your intention is to build a relationship and a partnership with this person, this approach is in absolute integrity. Understand, I mean, we do this anyway. But master communicators just accelerate the process. The physical body is communicated with as well, by gestures and actions. Because gestures or body actions are so important, we mention them at the conscious level as well as the physical. Also, sometimes gestures build rapport at a conscious level, and sometimes they're out of our conscious awareness. The way we use our physical body is actually far more powerful than the words we choose or the tonality with which we deliver those words. In fact, behavioral scientists tell us that there are three ways of communicating. Physiology, our actions, our gestures, our body, send the loudest message. This may surprise you, but a full 55% of the message conveyed is through our body, followed by tonality at 38%, and the words that we use only communicate 7% of the message. If you find this hard to believe, think about this. Have you ever had someone tell you something, but for some reason you just didn't believe them? I mean, you just couldn't always put your finger on it, but something just wasn't right. I'm sure this has happened to you. I certainly know it's happened to me. And the reason is that we are sensing something in their tone or their physical body that is incongruent or out of alignment with the words they are speaking. Our intuitive factor is picking up a message. You see, master communicators always send the same message at all levels, a message in total congruence. Again, commonality in these areas will open the door to deeper levels of rapport. Think about the people you hang around with most frequently. I'd be willing to bet that once again you have similar gestures and actions, and you don't even really think about it. When you get in rapport with someone, these things just begin to happen, don't they? Well, the thing that we can do is begin to accelerate the rapport by doing these things consciously. By building rapport at a conscious level through words, tonality, gestures, and writing, and at the physical level, through gestures and actions. This is how we create deeper connection. The last level, The spiritual or the subconscious level of rapport is related to by vibration or emotion. And once this bond is made, the level of trust is extremely high. The subconscious mind is wide open. And this is the deepest level of rapport that you can ever experience. And at this level, a tremendous level of trust begins to build. Your closest partnerships, relationships, and friendships are and will be in resonance at all three levels. You see, winners communicate on all three levels. If you look at the diagram in your workbook, you'll once again see the stick person, person A and person B. You communicate at all three levels through words, similar tonality, same types of writing. At the subconscious level, through emotion, vibration, and through gestures and actions at the body. Now, what I'd like for you to do is to think about the ways that you can begin to build a greater level of rapport with those people that you've listed. What are some of the things you can do consciously to increase your levels of rapport with mentors, with the business partnerships, and with your social partnerships? Stop and really think about these things. Get creative and be specific. Write them down now. I'll join you with power principle number 5, the power of giving. Welcome to Power Principle number 5, the power of giving. Many years ago, the great student of success and human potential, Napoleon Hill, said, "I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others." Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "One cannot sincerely help another without helping himself." And another great teacher, perhaps the great teacher of all, said, "Let he who would be the greatest among you be the servant of all." When you begin to study all the world leaders, the high achievers and highly successful are and always have been the greatest givers. What we're going to explore is how the power of giving absolutely puts into effect a law that will bring abundance into your life, which you truly want. The power of giving is one of the most important principles you will ever learn. How does this work? Well, let's talk about what I call the boomerang principle. And it's really based upon the law of cause and effect that we discussed earlier. The law of cause and effect states this, that every effect has a cause, and every cause its effect. Now, this is not new, and you've probably heard it before. In fact, this is probably one of the most widely known of all the great laws. It's been taught in multiple ways throughout time. You've heard it as, what you sow, shall you reap. Or maybe, as you give, so shall you receive. You've possibly heard it called the law of karma, or in slang, maybe you've heard it said, what goes around, comes around, and many, many other ways. No matter how you say it, the law of cause and effect, just like the boomerang, brings back around into your life exactly what you put out. The boomerang principle says that what you put out comes right back into your life. Put out a lot, you will get back a lot. Put out a little, and you'll get back a little. It's a law. The problem is that many people are giving a little and expecting a lot in return. Do you know people like this? This will never work. Giving is one of the most powerful principles in the science of success for several reasons. First, if you give great service and value, you will, by law, receive great returns. It's a universal law. If you put out great service, you must get back goodness in return. And here's what I find. Winners always give 10 times more value than what they ask for in return. Number 2, giving is one of the quickest ways to plant new ideas and new realities of abundance into your subconscious mind. When you give, what you actually tell your subconscious is that you have more than enough and that you live in total abundance. That you don't have to hold on or be stingy or hold back with what you have, because you know that you can pull more than you need at any time from an unlimited supply. Does that make sense? So let's talk a little bit more about giving and how giving greatly affects and enacts many of the other laws, the law of cause and effect, and the law of vibration and attraction. Not only does giving set the law of cause and effect in motion, guaranteeing that you must get back what you plant or put out into the universe, but it also puts out a particular vibration that brings the law of attraction into play. You already know, we've talked a lot about it, that like attracts like. Therefore, it's a law that the good you give must come back to you. And it will come back pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Here's something you need to understand right now. It is absolutely noble for you to charge and to collect a fortune for your services if you give a fortune in value. George Bernard Shaw once said, "It's a sin to be poor." Now think about it. We live in a world that rewards us monetarily for the value of the product or service we provide. Therefore, it stands to reason that what Shaw said is really true. In our world, if you are not being highly compensated, you need to provide more value. You are not giving enough. Likewise, we will run into problems when we try to charge a fortune for what we do, but we don't give much in return. You see, as I've said before, winners in life always give 10 times more value than what they ask for in return. They always provide tremendous value to the people they interact with. In other words, the true winners always provide 10 times more to their clients, to the people they interact with, than what they ask for in monetary compensation. Regardless of the monetary investment, the winner's clients and business associates always feel like it was more than worth the investment they made. In fact, often the true winner's clients will feel that they underpaid for the value they received. For this reason alone, if you truly understand the power of giving, your business and everything you do will be a huge success. People will actually be attracted to you. Crowds of people are always attracted to winners by magnetic forces, and knowledge of their value and their passion spreads like wildfire. I'm sure you've heard of referrals. Well, this is one reason why referrals work. This is why a lot of people don't have to do a lot of extensive marketing, never have and never will, because they understand the law. They may not consciously be aware of it, but they are giving tremendous value. Think about it. When somebody gives you tremendous value in any area, do you feel like telling someone you care about? Sure you do. Wouldn't you send a friend or a family member to someone who has treated you with passion and excellence? Someone who has totally amazed you with their service, their value, and in the way you've been treated? Someone who has given you 10 times more in value than what they've asked from you in return? Of course you would. This is a law, and this is what's happening for all the highly successful. It's not happenstance. It's never luck. What you give out not only will, but must come back to you in great measure. It's a law and a basic principle in the science of success. To ensure that this principle works for you, you must be sure that you are truly giving versus trading. Now let's talk about this for a moment. You must truly be giving versus trading, and there is a difference. You see, many people don't experience the true joy of giving, nor do they experience the returns that are inevitable when they do give. Why? Because their giving is really trading. How many times have you interacted with people who trade versus give? Think about Christmas in your family, for instance. Do you have family members who only go out and buy gifts because they think someone else is going to give them one? They don't really want to give. They're just worried about receiving a gift without giving something in return. That's not really giving, is it? That's giving because you don't want to be embarrassed or to look silly, which isn't really giving at all. You see, true giving comes from the heart. Many people give expecting reciprocity, but that's trading. The ancient text tells us, as you give, so shall ye receive. And this is true, but the key to remember is that it never told you you would receive from the same source. It just says you'll receive. Unfortunately, many people trade their love, their friendship, their gifts, their services, and they expect something in return. Oftentimes in relationships, what we call love is not really love at all, because people are actually trading. They're saying, I'll give you this if you give me that in return. It's not giving at all, and it goes against the law. Individuals who understand the law, the true winners in life, the high achievers, they know that it works. They know that if they give, they'll receive. But that's not why they give. They give for the sheer joy of helping someone, providing service, or giving tremendous value. For the highly successful, giving itself is the reward. Giving is the reward. True giving doesn't have to be something huge or elaborate. It only has to be from the heart. So that's why, again, giving is such an important principle in the science of success for a number of reasons. Number one, by law, what you give must come back to you. That's the boomerang principle. Number two, it also sends a strong message to your subconscious that you come from abundance. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is to turn off the tape right now and think about how you can give more. How can you begin to give 10 times more value than what you ask for in return? Be creative and be specific. Now, let's shift here for just a moment and talk about a subset of giving, and that is the vacuum law of prosperity. This is a fun one. If you want to bring something new into your life, you must have a space available. Nothing can come into your life unless there is a space for it to come into. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, that's actually a life principle. Nature abhors a vacuum. Now, you can easily test this. Go into your backyard and dig a hole. What will happen? Well, you and I know it won't be long before the hole begins to fill in. Why? Nature will begin to fill the void. Nature abhors a void or a vacuum. You know, I experience this almost on a daily basis in my home. I have this broad, open counter in my kitchen. No matter how many times I clean it off, it never remains that way for very long. Do you have something like that? Maybe a desk or an area in your home? You know, I'll clean it off. It'll be looking great. It'll be spotless. And within days, it'll have mail stacked on it, books or other miscellaneous items all over it. I'm sure you've experienced this as well. It's a natural principle. Nature abhors a vacuum. If something is empty, it will begin to fill. If you were to set a glass on a table, eventually it would fill with something, even if it was dust. So, if we understand this truth, you can begin to use it to your advantage. How so? Well, find things in your life that no longer serve you. And a good place to start is your closet. Let me ask you, how many old suits or outfits or shirts or pants or shoes do you have in your closet that don't serve you anymore? They're totally incongruent with the new paradigm you've built for yourself. And yet, you know, you go in your closet and you start to pull them out and you think, well, maybe it'll come back in style, right? Yeah, I've been there. But you see, this is sending a message to your subconscious of scarcity. It's saying to your subconscious, if you give it away, you may not be able to replace it. Think about it. That's the underlying theme. Why not start to send a message of abundance to your subconscious by saying, if something isn't serving you any longer, you have an access to an unlimited supply. You do. You can replace it anytime you want. Everything comes from one single source, right? We've learned this. And so you can tap into that anytime you want to. So what do? You give them away. You go into your closet, make a commitment right now to go into your closet. Find the things you haven't worn in the last year. Find those old plaid bell bottoms and those platform shoes. Well, those are kind of coming back in style now, but you know what I'm talking about. Find those things that you don't wear. They don't fit you anymore. You know, they're 10 pounds too light for you, if you know what I mean. And give them away. There's no better way to send a message of abundance into the universe than to give away things that no longer serve you, that no longer represent who you are. Some of those things you wouldn't be caught dead in anyway. Get rid of them. Now, you may see some of your friends and neighbors attempting to have garage sales, or they may be trying to sell off some of their old jackets or clothing. You know, I used to do this before I really understood the law, but this is ridiculous. Give. Give away the things that you no longer use. Give them to someone who will gain pleasure and value from them. You don't want money for them. You can replace them anytime you want. You can pull from an endless supply. You're an awesome creator with access to an unlimited supply. Send that message of faith and abundance into the universe by creating a vacuum and enjoying the pleasure of giving in the process. Understand this truth. You will never receive the good you desire until you've created a space for it. And there's a big difference between wishing for something and being prepared to receive it. You know, you may recall in the Bible when Moses was leading God's people out of Egypt, even great leaders sometimes take a wrong turn, don't they? Especially when there are so many lessons to be learned. Anyway, they found themselves wandering and lost. Well, at one point, they were without water and no rain was in sight. The people came to Moses pleading. Moses calmly told them to go and pray for rain. They went away and prayed, and the rain never came. Back again, they rushed to Moses and said, "Hey, Moses, the prayers don't work. Where's the rain?" Moses replied, "Where are the ditches?" Somewhat confused, the people said, "What do you mean? We don't understand. We need rain." Moses repeated, "Where are the ditches?" "You see," Moses continued, "if you really believed God would bring the rain, you would have dug the ditches." To receive all the goodness your heart desires, you must believe. You must be prepared to receive it, and you must create a space for it to arrive. You've got to dig your ditches. The vacuum law of prosperity works every single time. You know, I went into my closets earlier this year, and I decided to create a vacuum. I had a lot of shoes that were like brand new, but I hadn't worn them in a long time. And so I just gave them away. I just gave them away, and guess what? It felt good. Before long, I had brand new shoes. My closet was filled once again. You know this is true. If you don't like your car, give it away. You won't walk for long, will you? You'll replace it. You see, nature abhors a vacuum. Get rid of the things that no longer serve you and have fun doing it. Enjoy giving those things to someone who needs and appreciates them more than you do. So here's your opportunity. Open your workbooks or just turn off the tape if you're in your car. And let's have some fun now. Take just a moment and fill out the questions there. The first question, if you're driving in your car, really think about this as well. What are some of the things in your life that no longer serve you that you're hanging on to? Think about that now and write it down. Take your time. Okay, next question. When will you commit to creating a vacuum for the good you desire? Here's my recommendation. Make a commitment right now, no later than this weekend, to go through your closets and get rid of every single thing that you haven't worn in at least a year. It doesn't matter what condition it's in. It doesn't matter what style it is. Just get rid of it. Prove to the universe that you are unlimited and you have an unbending faith in this truth. Make it fun. Now, the last thing we'll spend some time with regarding giving is a mentality, a way of thinking. There are two mentalities in life, an abundance mentality, and then there's a scarcity mentality. Lao Tzu once said, "To take, you must first give." All great achievers in life have been great givers. We've said this before. We've explored this idea. When giving, you're operating according to law. Truly giving is the only way to send a strong message into the universe, a message of abundance. The individual who has a scarcity mentality feels that they must hold on to things and hoard them and save them and wait for a rainy day. They constantly think only of themselves. And guess what? Law of attraction says like energy attracts like energy. Inevitably, the givers get more and the hoarders lose what they tightly hold on to. It's a law. You probably know people of both types. So what kind of mentality do you have? Abundance or scarcity? When you believe in true abundance, you realize that nothing is ever created or destroyed. Everything in the universe comes from the same supply, and that supply is unlimited. You and everyone you know can become multimillionaires, and there will still be millions and billions of dollars to go around. You and everyone you encounter can create the life of your dreams, to be, do, and have everything you desire. And there will still be bountiful goodness and abundance to go around, won't there? You and I are both incredible creators, and you can be, do, and have anything your heart desires. Therefore, nothing can ever be truly lost except opportunity. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. Begin to think abundance. Become a true giver. That's what this is all about. That's giving. And that's power principle number 5. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Open your workbooks and fill out the following questions. Once again, if you're in your car, turn off the tape and consider each one. Really take it seriously. Question number one. How can you begin to give more in your professional life? Think of ways to positively impact your peers, your boss, your clients, and your customers. Question number two. Name some key clients and business partners and think about how you can give more to them. Write this down. Think of ways that you can add value to their business. Question number three. How specifically will you do this? Number four, when will you commit to doing these things? Be specific. You should be good at this by now. Put a date down. Question number five, how can you give more in your personal life? Now, think about your friends and family. And remember, this includes giving more to yourself as well. How can you give more in all of those areas? Next question, number six. How specifically will you do this, and how can you give more to that person or persons or to yourself? Be specific. Number seven, when will you commit to doing this? By what date? And last question, number eight, why are these commitments vital to your success? Give this some thought. Why are these commitments of giving, absolutely vital to your success? Fantastic. Remember, to get, you must first give. You will induce others to serve you because of your willingness to serve them. Let's close our conversation and our learnings on giving with a quote by Winston Churchill. He said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." Great job. I'll join you on the next with Power Principle number 6, the power of gratitude.